Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Thank you, Brian Main, for that introduction, and thank you to Adams Road for the musical introduction to our show here, Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is my colleague, Eric Johnson, and we are continuing our study of the book, The Miracle of Forgiveness, written by 12th President Spencer W. Kimball. Today, we are looking at Chapter 12, titled The Abandonment of Sin.
At the very top, it says, it quotes Doctrine and Covenants 58:43, and this is what it says: "By this ye may know that if a man repenteth of his sins, behold, he will confess them and forsake them." And then he starts off the book this way: "There is one crucial test of repentance. This is the abandonment of sin."
The abandonment of sin. Now, this is not just something that Spencer Kimball was saying off the top of his head. This is not just something that I think you should just say is Spencer Kimball's opinion, because that very same sentence is found in the church manual, the correlated manual, Teachings of Presidents of the Church, Spencer W. Kimball. It was a gospel doctrine manual. On page 39, it says this: "There is one crucial test of repentance. This is abandonment of the sin." Now, of course, the next question would be, well, how many sins must a Mormon abandon? I've never heard a Mormon leader say, well, you should just abandon some of them. Usually the implication is that in order to be truly repentant, you are supposed to abandon all of your sins. And Kimball actually talks about that in this book, and we're going to be looking at some of these things here in the next few days.
Well, it sounds almost impossible, Bill, to abandon sins. If I were a Latter-day Saint, I might say something to the effect, you know, I'm not perfect, I'm just human, I am trying my best.
Oh, we hear that all the time. When we bring this up to a Latter-day Saint, we quote to them from Doctrine and Covenants 58:43, because I quote that all the time to Latter-day Saints. And they'll say, well, just like you said, Eric, well, I'm trying. And that sounds fine until you turn the page. Because when you look to the very next page, he tells this story. I call it Spencer Kimball's Parable of the Officer. But let me preface it before I get into that first, before I turn the page, because he says in the book, on page 163, he says, "Desire is not sufficient." So in other words, trying or having the desire to change is not sufficient, according to Kimball. In other words, it is not real repentance until one has abandoned the error of his way and started on a new path. Someone has said that there is only the way that there is only one way to quit a bad habit, and that is to stop. The saving power does not extend to him who merely wants to change his life. True repentance prods one to action. Now, again, I'm not faulting Latter-day Saints who want to have action in trying to stop sinning. I'm not faulting them for that. Well, I have that same attitude. I want to stop sinning.
Well, that's the biblical interpretation of repent anyway, is to turn around and to basically head in a different direction than the way you were originally headed.
But he takes it to an extreme that, as we've said many times, I have yet to find any Mormon who has actually accomplished that. Now, before we get into the parable of the officer, did you have something?
Well, I wanted to read the paragraph right before he gets into that, because I think that's a really important paragraph on page 164, right underneath the subhead, "Trying is not sufficient." He says, "Nor is repentance complete when one merely tries to abandon sin. To try with the weakness of attitude and effort is to assure failure in the face of Satan's strong counteracting efforts. What is needed is resolute action." And then he says a story will perhaps illustrate this. This is a killer story, Bill.
Something that I have done with many Latter-day Saints that I feel does have an effect on them is whenever a Mormon tells me they are trying to abandon sin or trying to keep all the commandments, is to have them admit to me that nobody usually uses the word try in that type of a context unless it's within the context of failure. And I've used this illustration many times. I had two sister missionaries at my door the other day, and they said the very thing. They said, well, we're trying. And I said, you see that mountain behind you? If I was to say that I tried to climb that mountain, you would probably assume that I didn't do it, right? And they agreed. And I says, that's because people normally don't use the word try unless it's in the context of failure. Because if I had climbed that mountain, I wouldn't say I tried to climb it. I did climb it. But because I didn't use that, you know, I probably failed at my attempt.
Keith Walker, one of our friends, uses an illustration when he's out on the streets, and he'll put a book out and he'll say, try to take this from me. Mm-hmm. And then they'll take the book from him and he lets go of it. And they're expecting a little bit of a tug of war, but he just lets go and they take it. He says, no, I didn't say to take it. I said, try to take it.
Mm-hmm. And they usually balk. They don't know what to do at that point.
Right. You know?
But let's go through this parable very quickly. This is what Kimball uses as an illustration for the point that he's trying to make. An army officer called a soldier to him and ordered him to take a message to another officer. The soldier saluted and said, I'll try, sir, I'll try. To this, the officer responded, I don't want you to try. I want you to deliver this message. The soldier, somewhat embarrassed, now replied, I'll do the best I can, sir. At this, the officer, now disgusted, rejoined with some vigor, I don't want you to try, and I don't want you to do the best you can. I want you to deliver this message. Now the young soldier, straightening to his full height, approached the matter magnificently, as he thought, when he saluted again and said, I'll do it or die, sir. To this, the now irate officer responded, I don't want you to die, and I don't want you merely to do the best you can, and I don't want you to try. Now the request is a reasonable one, the message is important, the distance is not far. You are able-bodied. You can do what I have ordered. Now get out of here and accomplish your mission.
You can do what I have ordered. And what I think he's going to say here, it makes the most sense, is God has given you commands that are doable. And so you need to
that
go
would go
out
along with 1 Nephi 3:7. A Mormon would be familiar with that. God's not going to give you a commandment that you can't accomplish. Right. But the question I want to ask here is, who is this army officer and who is this soldier? In the parable, it seems pretty clear that the army officer is supposed to be the Mormon God.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Mormon God. That's the loving Mormon God that we are supposed to put our trust in. Who is the soldier? Well, obviously, that's the Latter-day Saint. And it's the Latter-day Saint who is given this answer that we have heard so many times when talking with them. Well, I'm trying, but does the Mormon God or the officer in this story accept that as an answer? Absolutely not. He does not accept that as an answer. He chides the soldier who tries to use that as an excuse. And even when the soldier, who after being embarrassed says, I'm going to do the best I can, the officer is disgusted. The Mormon God is disgusted, and he tells him, I don't want you to try. I don't want you to do the best you can. I want you to deliver the message. In other words, you better accomplish this.
This could make a good Nike commercial. Just do it.
Well, exactly. But the thing is how many times do we hear Mormons say exactly what the soldier, who was the bad example in this story, how many times have we heard them use that very excuse?
Listen to what Spencer Kimball says right after this story. He says, it is normal for children to try. They fall and get up numerous times before they can be certain of their footing. But adults who have gone through these learning periods must determine what they will do, then proceed to do it. To try is weak. To do the best I can is not strong. We must always do, and in italics, better. We must always do better than we can. This is true in every walk of life. We have a companion who has promised, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you, Matthew 7:7.
Totally out of context. Go ahead.
Yeah, with the inspiration from the Lord, we can rise higher than our individual powers, extend far beyond our own personal potential. That last statement sounds like we're supposed to become Superman.
And he actually uses that word later on in the book. He does equate Mormons to being like supermen. The question is I haven't met any of these supermen in the Mormon church. And I hope that any Mormon who has ever used the excuse, well, I'm trying, will realize you don't have the support of Spencer W. Kimball. You don't have the support from this book, The Miracle of Forgiveness, which has been recommended by Mormon leaders for you to follow if you are to receive the forgiveness that you seek.
Well, it seems like we usually hear that trying excuse the Mormons will bring, I'm trying, but another one they'll use that he deals with here, I'm doing the best I can. Mm-hmm. And he uses that as, at this, the officer, now disgusted, rejoined with some vigor, I don't want you to try, and I don't want you to do the best you can.
Isn't that really the theme of General Conference, it seems like? It's always about doing your best and doing better. And again, you know, trying to be good, trying to live all the commandments is noble. Again, I hope people are not misunderstanding what we're saying here. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be a good example and living a life that is pleasing to your God, but if you think that you have to accomplish all these things in order to gain his favor, folks, I would find another God.
I would find the true God.
I would find the true God, yeah. Because the true God of the Bible doesn't act like that. The true God of the Bible knows you're a sinner, and certainly he would like to see you live a holy life, but he's not going to dangle your justification over your head whenever you fall. He loves you just the same. If you have put your trust in what he did on the cross, if you will trust in what Jesus did in his atonement on the cross, you can rest in that mercy he gives.
But there's that difference, Bill, we've talked about before this week. It's about trusting God who's already done the work and not us trying to trust ourselves that we have to do the work. It's a complete difference.
The fact that the Mormon church has anything left over in this atonement for the person to perform will always rob that individual from any assurance that they have arrived or achieved what they're hoping to achieve in the next life.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Viewpoint on Mormonism is a radio show dedicated to discussing the differences between Mormonism and Christianity in a loving, gentle format. Sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry, this show's goal is to look carefully at the Bible and determine whether or not the beliefs, as taught by the leaders of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, corresponds to truth. Now, whether you're a Latter-day Saint or a Christian, you can contact us and even ask a question that we could answer in a future show. Here's how. Email us at contact@mrm.org. Again, that's contact@mrm.org. And if you're a Christian who would like to financially support this radio ministry, you can do that as well. Just go to our website, www.mrm.org, and go to the right top button called Donate. This ministry cannot exist without the financial support of our friends and listeners, and we are grateful to everyone who plays a vital role in what we do. Again, that's mrm.org. We're glad to be on the air and providing this information to you.